please rise and join us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, County Board of Supervisors, January 19th, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda? I have none. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. The office is busy, and we're getting ready to, we're preparing for the Danville School special election, which is March 2nd. And we got the ballots in, but officially absentee voting can't begin until 29 days before the election. So that will be in February that the ballots will be available for voting. So we're just busy preparing for that and doing everything else in the office. So that's it.
Thank you, Terry. Colin Durst, IT.
Just getting busy like always, but nothing really new to report.
Chair Glasser, Land Use.
Morning. We've got a couple things on the agenda today and nothing significant other than that, so I think I'll just pass for now.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Shane was asking about the weekend, basic weekend. However, I feel like, Saturday midday, all of a sudden the forecast changed, and so our guys got the honor of running our plow trucks Sunday for a better portion of the day. So. Wasn't a whole lot, just enough to kind of be a pain and cause us to keep on working. So the guys were out on Sunday. Just plow trucks, no motor graders. So appreciate their time on that. Contractor is still working up at the bridge. Maybe today we'll finish driving piling on the last pier to be done. So that'll actually be the end of all pile driving. Could be tomorrow, just depends on the progress they made yesterday. So to give you an idea of the headway they've made, both abutment, we'll call them footings, are done and ready to have beams set on top of them. The southern pier, there's only two piers, the southern pier is done, what they're working on now is the northern pier. So once they have those piling driven, they'll do a concrete pour for that, and honestly, depending on how yesterday went, they could theoretically pour today and possibly do another pour on Friday too. But they're making headway is the point. So that's good. Been mild weather and water's down. So, and they're taking advantage of it. I don't think you could ask for much more. So that is moving along. I've talked with Shane a couple times on this subject. So I'm gonna just address it real quick that gravel roads, it's one of those things. I mean, we're rolling into heading towards February, and the next 2 days are probably gonna be a great example of that. Jim driving a bus gets the first hand view of a lot of it. The 40 degree afternoon is nice because it melts ice and it tends to get rid of snow, but it also, we do have windrows of snow down the gravel roads. And the reason we have those is because, well, honestly, they're full of rock. I mean, you work hard to get rid of that snow, you move as fast as you can, but you don't want to launch all that rock into the ditch if you can avoid it. But now they need to melt, and that takes some time, and we are in the middle of winter. So we have a mixed bag. We got potholes, we have, the next two afternoons we're going to have a couple spots of sloppy roads where they're just moisture's thawing out and has nowhere to go. It doesn't get warm enough to evaporate or dry out anything. It just kind of sits there and is muddy. So, we still have icy spots. I mean, where especially, I was driving Beaverdale yesterday, and boy, you go literally from a shaded spot with trees to a spot where there's no trees and sunshine. It is night and day difference in the road. The guys have done a good job. I don't think there's any ice anywhere where you can't at least drive and get through it. But it's just a mixed bag right now, and it's going to be a mixed bag for a month or two. I mean, they are frozen, even though when you drive through a muddy spot, I guess you don't really think about it, but it's frozen, I guarantee it. And so unfortunately, we're going to live with what we have for a little while. It's nothing new. I mean, if you've been on a gravel road all your life or have experience with it, you've seen this before. It's just the way it is right at the moment. So it's one of the reasons I say the best thing we could do is freeze in late November and not thaw again until March. I mean, that's perfect world, but that's not what we get. So anyway, so and we were out yesterday just with motor graders, knocking back a little bit of snow that we had and scratching on ice and stuff like that. And I believe someone will be back out today. Otherwise, we're just cutting some trees and doing some patching on our pavements. So
those back on 99, those precast beams, mm-hmm. How long will it take them to get those when they get those poured?
The beams are sitting in the yard and ready to go.
They were
produced this summer, so they're ready, and they'd like to get them set, you know, if they can. They've got, obviously, they've got to finish their concrete pours. And then traditionally, which I don't imagine this being different, there's riprap that goes underneath both ends of the bridge on the creek bank, basically. Obviously, the best time to do that is before you set the beams, but you have to do a little bit of shaping of the bank and get it prepped. It isn't just throwing it out there and then moving on. So they have a little bit of that to do. Because obviously it's a lot easier to do that without stuff over top of you than it is once you set the beams. So there's a few things that they need to do, but they're itching to set them. The beams are ready. So, and I mean, once they get them set, they get paid for them. So it's going to come along, and those are going to be some, you know, if we can identify ahead of time the day, I'll let you know, because those are going to be some big, especially that center span, are going to be some big, maybe the biggest beams that you can set as far as standard beams. So the center span is, I guess I can't quote you the exact length, it's 150 or 155 foot, I want to say. They're 5 foot tall concrete beams. They're monsters. One of the reasons the bridge is going to be higher when it's all said and done, because we wanted to clear span. That was one of our design decisions we made right off the bat, was we wanted to clear span that channel and not be blocking up debris like we have historically. Should help the flow tremendously, especially during high rainfall events. So anyway, yeah, it's, you know, if this weather stays the way it is, the next month the landscape could really change down there. Just see how things move.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Sheriff, I'm glad you did.
Good morning. Things are going really well at the sheriff's office. We are continuing kind of some moves and transitions of offices, and Colin and IT and Rodney and maintenance have just been abundance of help. So I thank them again for that. Hopefully we'll wrap that up here in the next week or two. We had our testing this past Friday and had a couple good applicants get through that. So we'll continue with our civil service exam or interviews, and hopefully have a certified list that we can hire from in the coming weeks. We had our city council meetings last night with Mediapolis and Danville, so we were able to wrap up all of our town contracts. It's always nice to get that in place for the budget year. So we have our school resource officers completed with Mediapolis and Danville, and then our town contracts with Mediapolis, Danville, and Middletown. And a couple of those are on the agenda today, but we finished all those up last night. Other than that, I have nothing else. Doug's here, so he can address the jail.
Were your prospective recruits faster than Deputy Grinch?
Much.
That's good. They ran further than 40
no, the ones that passed.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That's good. Thank you.
Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. We had last Wednesday we had our SEAL advisory board and our change agent and our governing board meetings. And one thing that came out of that was our legislative priorities, and so I'll just share a copy of that coming from the advisory board going to the governing board. And that's just a list of the priorities. I know mental health funding has been something we've mentioned before here in the meetings, and so that's the list that they came up with, and I thought I'd share those with you in case you're meeting with legislators. If you have any questions, I know telehealth, you know, we've been using telehealth with COVID and it's working really well. We'd like to see Medicaid continue to pay for telehealth even after the COVID crisis is over. And they would like to be reimbursed, the providers would like to be reimbursed at a rate that meets their costs. So sometimes Medicaid funded services don't always meet the costs of the services. And so that's part of the parity thing in here too, that they would like for adult and children's services for mental health, the Medicaid rates to be adequate to meet the costs. And local control, continue to allow regions to set levy amounts to meet our service needs. Mental health funding, we need stability, we need, you know, the state hasn't given us mental health funding, but in the governor's budget is a proposal for $30 million to go to regions over 2 years. And so that would be $15 million and $15 million from the governor. Now, I don't know, we got $30 million for that CARES Act, and so our region ended up getting $1.5 million of the $30 million when it was divvied out to all the regions. So I don't know if that would mean $1.5 million to our region like we got for the CARES Act. Over a two-year period, so it'd be $750,000 a year. That's just a guess from me, but, so.
Well, the CARES Act was a portion per capita, right?
Yeah, I believe so. So I'm not sure how this is a portion.
I would assume that way, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm throwing out a number just in case. It might be the same.
If you're getting anything from it, would be better than nothing.
Exactly. Right now. We've not been getting anything from the state, so this would be something. It'd be a move in the right direction. With all of those new services that are mandated, we need some money from the state. And sometimes people getting out of inpatient, they don't have a place to go after inpatient, so we need more inpatient beds. We also need more places to go after inpatient. So that's kind of a list for you from our different groups that met last week.
Thanks, Ken.
Yep.
Doug Urban, jail administrator.
Yeah, good morning. Everything's going pretty good at the jail, keeping very, very busy. Our population, again this weekend, or week, is at 95. I believe it was at 95 Monday of last week also. We have 19 out of county. Our big problem now is Lee County is suspending holding any more inmates due to some COVID issues. And Henry County is also not accepting any more due to their population, and their population's due to us in Des Moines. and same with Washington County. So if one more person gets arrested, we're going to have to reach out even further. As far as transportation wise goes.
John, you want to fix that and make sure nobody else gets arrested?
I will stay off the streets.
The only way to handle that is just tell your deputies if you arrest them, no place, they go to your house.
Very good. other than that, on the as far as personnel actions go, we have another new hire. Now put us at full staff, which is very awesome. However, we did have somebody just resign, a part-time person, and that was due to the person wanting to go back to get some schooling. So that leaves us with one that's only available on weekends. So, but I think with full staff, and we'll put another ad in the paper, if we get another part-time or two, we'll still be in good shape as far as staff goes.
How many hours is the part-time, 20?
Yeah, up to 28, but yeah, roughly.
Thank you, Doug.
Yes.
Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. Currently, the 7-day rolling positivity rate is at 7%, and the 14 days at 10%, so we continue to have that decreasing. Year-to-date cases, we've had 3,810. On the website for the Iowa Department of Public Health, it also talks about the number of vaccines that have been administered. So in the county at this point in time, we've had 2,034 vaccines provided by providers in the county, and residents of the county, 1,578 residents of the county have received the vaccine. 356 have had the second dose completed. So we have 356 individuals who completed both. Phase 1B is slated to roll out starting February 1st. And that will include persons 75 years and older, as well as just to name a few of the other entities that would be able to receive the vaccine would be correctional facility staff and individuals incarcerated, frontline essential workers in food and agriculture if they're unable to social distance, pre-K through 12 school staff, early childhood education, and child care workers would be eligible, first responders, and this would be where the firefighters and police officers and child welfare social workers, also inspectors responsible for health, life, safety, including those in hospital and long-term care. And that's just to name a few. The list is a little longer than that, but as soon as we have an idea of how much vaccine our county will be receiving, we'll post that, and we're hoping to do drive-through clinics to be able to administer those. Again, it depends on how much vaccine is available. So there'll be more information to come, and I'll keep everyone posted.
Thank you, Krista. You find that, do they contact you on a Monday and let you know you've got X number of vaccines coming this week, and then they show up a few days later?
Generally, it's either Monday or Tuesday. So what I understand is that the state works on Sundays to look and see what the allocation is at their level. And then they look and see how it can be split out amongst the counties. So it's usually Mondays or Tuesdays that we'll get notification of the allocation, and then it, we accept it and usually get it by the end of the week.
Thank you. Anybody online?
Yes, I have four here. The first one is Rodney Bleesner with maintenance.
Rodney Bleesner, maintenance.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Good morning. We're having a work session with Doug and you guys after the meeting. Other than that, nothing new to report.
Thank you, Rodney.
Next, I got Chris Lee, conservation.
Chris Lee, conservation.
Good morning. We've got a crew out in Hunt Woods today. Maybe some other days this week. We are dropping some of the dead hazard trees back there along the trail. So if anybody goes back there to walk the trails, there may be a little bit of a disruption with that going on. Otherwise, just kind of business as usual for this time of year. We'll be opening the Nature Center next week. We're going to have hours 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesdays through Fridays will be open to the public. That'll give us time to come in on Mondays, do a deep cleaning of the place, and then in the afternoons during the week, do cleaning as folks come in and out and stuff. And so, but we'll be getting that back opened up starting next week. And I think that's it for today.
Thanks, Chris.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We continue to be busy, but I have nothing new to report.
Thanks, Janelle.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning. I'll have to make this quick because I'm doing this in between court appearances. We don't have a whole lot going on. We have the personnel action for Todd's resignation. Other than that, just plodding along, getting ready for trials next month. I'll scare myself. And starting the search for two replacement attorneys. That's about it.
Thanks, Lisa. Good luck.
Thanks.
I didn't miss anybody, did I? Okay. Any correspondence?
I have none.
We will proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable in the amount of $1,222,360.28.
Move to approve.
Second. Carrie.
Jim Carrie.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. We have payroll claims reimbursement in the amount of $505.60.
So moved.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. We have a resolution, final plat for Schulte Hills subdivision. I'm guessing that's you, Jared.
Yep. So Schulte Hills, this is a minor subdivision in Franklin Township, north of Burlington, off of 160th Street. It's a pretty simple situation here where there's an existing residential lot, about 3 acres, that was carved out of a 40-acre plot, I believe back in the 1980s, which counted as the first split in that 40-acre. And the person who owns that home is interested in expanding their property. I believe the way it was initially developed, the way the lot was laid out, where the home was placed, kind of result kind of inconvenient in terms of being near the back there. So they just want to have a little bit of buffer space there, and then so that they work on an agreement with the neighbor who owns the remaining 36 acres of that 40 acre to swap 4 acres between the two. And although this is largely just going to be an enlargement of the existing lot, because the added piece is over 4 acres and the original lot is only 3, that means that this would be considered a subdivision. And also the owner does intend to keep this additional lot as a separate parcel, even though it's all part of the same general residential property. No significant comments were submitted, other than secondary roads indicating that they would need to use the existing access off 160th. Ordinarily, if this were just being two lots combined together, that wouldn't be as much of a concern, but since this is going to be a standalone tax parcel, even if it currently isn't of the same ownership, we did put a condition on the plat that that would need to be the case if that lot were ever to be split off in the future, sold separately from Mr. Schulte, the owner of that property, then they would need to share that same access point off of the county road. So with that, we recommend approval of Schulte Hills.
So moved.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. And we have a resolution for reappointment for the Des Moines County Zoning Commission for Jesse Caston.
Sounds like this is happened pretty recently here, which makes sense because he was just appointed earlier last year, early 2020. However, when he was appointed, he was appointed to serve initially the remainder of a 5-year term that had been begun by his predecessor, John Roth, who had resigned about 4 years into a 5-year term. So this is simply to reappoint him for the first full 5-year term. And he's interested in continuing to serve, only had a couple of meetings so far, but of course we are in the midst of the ordinance update, so we've had at least a couple of sessions so far just to discuss and review that. So nothing else to add.
So. Nice to get a volunteer for that
yes,
board.
Yes, move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
And more to discuss on that at the work session.
Here we have the city, excuse me, the City of Middletown Law Enforcement Agreement. I suspect this is Kevin.
Yes. This is a proposal of the Sheriff's Office to provide law enforcement services for the City of Middletown. It does not include any scheduled patrol times or minimums. Instead, it is the response to calls for service as needed in handling all the law enforcement calls within the City of Middletown. We have actual patrol hours for Danville and Mediapolis, but Middletown doesn't include that. So that's a proposal that we came up with, and the City of Middletown agreed, and we continue to kind of transition back to where we were several years ago. City of Middletown had some concerns with costs several years ago, so that went down at that time, but we continue to work through that and kind of work back to where we were.
I didn't notice it on this before, but paragraph 3 is written out the sum of $13,000. Then in parentheses it says $13,500, and two payments of $6,750, so it's $13,500. We get another one of these printed out after the meeting, and we could sign. I'm assuming it's $13,500, right?
That was,
yes.
That was emailed to me with the signatures on it, so.
Oh, that's got the signatures on it.
Yeah, I don't think I have the ability to do that.
I can address that with them and get an updated copy, and then we could just have a clean copy.
Or cross it out and initial it. I mean, if they agreed to the 16 or the
13,500, and that's what I read. That it was the 13,500. This is just a misprint. I'll tell you what. We will pass this. I'm going to cross that out. And you can, I'm going to put my line through it.
And then put the correct amount and just initial it.
Okay, but it does have their initials on it, I guess is the only thing. Well, let's pass this at 13,500. We have a contract for the city of, from law enforcement agreement with the city of the town of Middletown for $13,500 for fiscal 21-22.
So moved.
Second.
Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. After the meeting or something, was the right way to do that. We have a 2080 agreement between the Danville Community School District and Des Moines County for the School Resource Officer Program. This would also involve Sheriff Glenn Denny.
This is an identical agreement to the one that came through for Mediapolis. Mediapolis and Danville's agreements are identical. But Danville got theirs through, and the same numbers, we'd also recommend passing that. And again, it's a program that we're excited about. We have two great deputies in the schools, and I think everybody's really happy with the program we have.
And these are going through 3-year terms? Are these?
They're 2-year agreements.
2-year agreements.
Fiscal 22 and fiscal 23.
Yep. I know they're Danville satisfied with Corey. I know that. I can't speak for Mediapolis. So.
We met with the principals and superintendents for both schools, yeah. And we do that a couple times a year, and they're very excited about Deputy Brecken up there. as is Danville with Deputy Whitaker. So.
Anything I've heard, that people are happy about that.
Yeah. Just the right personalities to be around kids and work with the faculty, and they're doing really well.
Good. Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Okay. We're going to canvass the Two Rivers Levy and Drainage District 2021 election.
You want me to go get a letter opener, Tom? Or?
I've already got my shoes off.
Okay.
Well,
here.
Maybe you before I tear this up.
Yes, sir.
For Chad Koontz?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We've got
a lot of votes. For down there, it's a lot of votes. Chad's probably campaigning.
I've only got 16 on this tally sheet. For another tally sheet.
Nope, they sealed everything in there, so it's whatever's in there. Are all 20 votes?
There's 20.
For
20 all for Chad.
They're all.
Six. Great, he doesn't trust my counting.
Seven.
I can't do this.
Good thing I didn't have you guys on my
board. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Oh, wait a second. The last four have Chad Koontz in there and they aren't marked. That's what I thought was going to be one of those days. I think those are just unvoted ballots.
That must be unvoted ballots.
Because the tops, I didn't realize that either when I first looked at it.
They didn't mark them.
Yeah, when that's all I looked at until I saw one. So those are all. So we're good.
The
supervisors, what he's going to do,
but had 20.
And it might have been they had 20 ballots available.
They had 20 ballots.
Only
they just
16
put in the
voted.
Ballots. Yeah,
they
I didn't
just
notice
put everything
that
in there.
I didn't notice that either. Shane. Okay, though, we're the tally sheet matches the ballots. We need a motion to accept the results. Approve the results.
I move that we approve the results.
Should I second that? Trust your guys' accountant?
You can count them.
I'll second that so I don't have to count them.
Okay.
Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes, please.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Where's this good stamp or sign?
You could probably just stamp it on the front of the tally book. Just stamp it somewhere. Or, yeah.
That's a big turnout for us. Trusty election. Usually it's won by the guy that's got two write-ins. Okay. We have personnel actions. We have one personnel action for the county attorney. We have the resignation of Todd Shelf, the first assistant county attorney, effective January 13th, 2021.
15th, I believe. If you look at his last...
Oh, well, effective 1:15, you're right, yep. Effective 1:15 at 4:30 p.m. last Friday. Second. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We will miss Todd. He worked a lot with the board.
So what would happen if I would have said no to Todd wanting to leave?
We've tried that before, quite honestly, and one of the public health nurses threatened us with some sort of bodily injury. That was our only, tell you what, there was a letter attached to that. Let me read this into the record. Ms. Schaefer, this letter is a follow-up to our conversation of January 3rd, 2021. I resigned my position as first assistant Des Moines County Attorney effective at the close of day on January 15th, 2021. I have accepted the position of Associate General Counsel at Great River Health System effective January 18th, 2021. My new position brings me back to a pursuit. I began in law school when I was an intern for a large health system located in Des Moines, Iowa. This new position provides not only the opportunity to fulfill a career goal, but will provide me with an opportunity to continue to serve the people of Southeast Iowa, although in a different capacity. It has been my great pleasure to serve as an assistant Des Moines County Attorney. I have treasured the opportunity to serve the people of Des Moines County and the knowledge I have acquired. Furthermore, I've been blessed to work with many of the finest people I know in our office, members of law enforcement, and other county offices. It has been my privilege to seek justice for the victims of crime, especially the victims of sexual assault, and I am proud of the work I have done. Thank you for allowing me to serve as your first assistant. It has been an honor, and I take the experience with me to my next position. Sincerely, Todd Shelf. Appreciate the sentiment. And, he will be hard to replace. Okay. We did vote on that, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay, we have one personnel action from the Correctional Center. Cody Reynolds, full-time correctional officer, new hire, at a new rate of $38,706.18 a year.
I move that we accept the personnel action.
Move. Second.
Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And we have two personnel actions for local health. We have Stephanie Gall, a disease prevention specialist, to extend a temporary part-time disease prevention specialist at $23.88 an hour, temporary position ending May 31st, 2021. And Michelle Van Zeden, Zeden, a disease prevention specialist,
to extend a temporary part-time disease prevention specialist at $23.88 an hour, temporary position ending May 31st, 2021.
Move to approve both of them.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have reports for general assistance for December 2020, the Sheriff's Monthly Report for December 2020, and the Southeast Iowa Regional Planning Commission Annual Report for Fiscal 2020. These reports will be on file at the Auditor's Office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of January 12th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Any other business?
None.
Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I had a Russ meeting. It was a pretty good meeting. Nothing new going on. We didn't have to put any shutoffs in on anybody, and if everything goes right, our dues might go down a little bit. So
good.
We won't know that for another couple weeks. See how that goes. So that'd be a blessing.
Yes. Jim's got that board all straightened out after he got on there.
What's that, Jimmy?
Jimmy's all straightened out. The dues are going down.
He's a good man.
Yes. Do you have any committee meetings, Shane?
No, I've got one coming up, so I've got nothing to say. You'll have to wait till next week to hear my talk.
Okay. I attended a meeting of the Joint Safety Committee. We approved the fiscal 22 budget, approved the AED, automatic external defibrillators, grants for the Duane County landfill and for the Burlington Public Works, and I attended the Southeast Iowa Link, the Governance Committee that Ken mentioned, and we approved the fiscal 22 budget recommendation, re-elected officers, and approved claims and some new committee members. And that's all I had. Public input. If anyone from the public would like to address the board, in view of the fact that we have limited seating, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. Anybody in attendance have any comments?
I take it that might be me, since I'm going to be an apartment head. Yeah. I didn't realize you could do the email or the phone call, or I would have done that.
That's fine. If you would introduce yourself for the record,
okay.
Ma'am.
Linda Schneider. I live in rural Burlington. Do you need an address?
No.
Okay. The reason I'm here, I have a
grandson who's 12 who's a Medicaid patient. And we were looking to get a second HPV vaccination. And I spent a couple weeks trying to get a hold of public health about the timing, whether, you know, with COVID, it's so particular about the when, whether it was before the 6 months or after the 6 months, because it was a pretty painful shot. It was expensive. And I spent 2 weeks calling public health, and they don't answer the phone. Everything goes to voicemail, so I finally just started picking options. And I think I did the healthcare provider make an appointment, and I got a hold of a person, and she told me I would have to call this family doctor because after this week, I wanted to make sure. She said they're suspending the immunization clinic. And I said, you mean that means you can't get a shot at public health? And she says, yes, you have to call the family doctor. And I said, we had a problem with the first one, whether he was Medicaid or the doctor, and he needed the other shots to get into school, and we did the HPV with it. And I knew the doctor wouldn't do it, but Jen, I had to call. And she says, no, the doctor isn't set up with the state of Iowa, and they don't get paid for it, and it's over a $400 shot between the shot and injection fee. So for Medicaid, we can't pay that. So I called Jen back, and this was all late Friday afternoon. And she says, I said, so what are the poor kids on Medicaid supposed to do? She says, well, they can just wait till they start the clinic up again.
They can just what?
They can just wait until they start the clinic up again. So I called around in the meantime. Burlington Peds gives them, but he's not a patient there. In the last 2 weeks, they've merged with CHC. So the only options my grandson has in Des Moines County is to go down to public health or to change his doctor so he can be seen at CHC. And I just don't really think that's a great option. He's really happy with his family doctor. He's just not set up to do the immunizations. And my grandson's been on Medicaid basically his whole life. He's had the majority of his shots at public health. We've always been real happy there. I just need to make sure I'm understanding correctly. After this week, they're not doing immunizations for the public.
And if I could, I'll let Chris ask, just so everyone, I know it's been tough for public health the last few months.
COVID. I was going to say,
we've hired the two people, we just extended their jobs. Their basic job is to be on the phone. They're covered up with, so I understand, go ahead.
Before we talk that too, I do have to add, the doctor's office didn't know anything about this, and public health told me all the doctors were going to do it. So I'm like, okay, we got a problem. So I call around, and then I find out we have two options, or not do it.
Okay.
If I'm understanding correctly, I don't want to.
So if I could clarify.
Sure.
So thank you for your email this morning, and actually I've kind of passed that along. So I think there was some confusion. So with COVID, and we're kind of gearing up towards doing drive-through clinics. So we are doing immunizations by appointments. And so what the communication was with the staff is that we will, instead of doing two half-day appointment days, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 1:30 to 4, we're scheduling people all days on Tuesdays. And there was some confusion. I know that that's what she told you, and I asked her about that once I got your email. And there was confusion. We are continuing to do by appointment on Tuesdays. No, there was some confusion with that. And I have to say, you're absolutely correct. I mean, things are very chaotic in our office. We're calling different places, doing the contact tracing, as well as setting up immunization clinics, looking ahead to 1B, as well as doing second round for 1A. And so our office is very, very busy. And I think there was just some miscommunication in that. And I think she's probably already left a voicemail on your phone, because that was the first thing when I got your email that she was going to clarify. And we are doing immunizations, but they are by appointment only. Part of the reason for that is social distancing. We don't have the space in our office to have, and it's cold. In the fall when we did this and we had people standing outside, had them waiting in their car, it's just too cold to call people in
to have them just be a walk-in type of clinic. So immunization and scheduling those has worked really well. So people who need immunizations do continue to call our office. We will get them scheduled as quick as possible. We do stagger those immunization appointments just to make sure that there is appropriate social distancing, but we are continuing that, and I appreciate your follow-up on that.
Well, thank you. I thought it seemed really... She said there'd be an article, ad in the paper that they had stopped, and I thought since that was next week, it would be faster to probably come do this than. I hated to leave it hanging. You know, it wasn't just my grandson. It was, you know, the other thing when I said it wasn't just my grandson, she says, well, when I start the clinic again, he can get the HPV, can be later, and I said, well, I kind of get that, but I said, what about the other kids? And she says, well, your grandson's handled. Don't worry about the rest. I'm like, I'm a grandma. That wasn't probably the best.
Okay.
I feel so much better. Thank you.
Well, and I apologize for that. I think, not to make any excuses, we're kind of busy there. I'm sure that, that wasn't what she meant to say. It probably came across a little bit differently, possibly.
Our first round, when we had the problem trying to figure out, they sent us to the doctor. The doctor sent us back. Nobody wanted to do it. And my son didn't understand what he had. He thought he was from Hawkeye. So that was, she was very, very good. I chalked it up to probably the stress of COVID. But it was it's really hard when I couldn't get anybody on the phone and had been trying. And then when I did pick the healthcare option, which wasn't very fair, and she was a little ticked I did that. But I get that. And I hated to do that. But I didn't, since I've been sick last fall, I didn't really want to walk in down there. I really wasn't keen on coming here today.
Okay. And we have had
problem solved. Communication.
Any problem you have with the county, you can email anyone or all of the board supervisors, just because we will contact that department with those questions too. So don't be shy about not doing that.
Well,
if you need to.
This happened really late Friday, and in fact, I will tell you, I called, not knowing that we didn't have a lot of options, I called Iowa Public Health.
Mm-hmm.
She called me back at like 5:30 Friday night and called me Sunday, so I will let her know too.
Good.
She just wanted to make sure, somebody wasn't stopping a clinic, because she says we've had some issues with some counties doing some renegade things with COVID, and she says we just don't need to get any of that started. So I will let her know it was just...
So ma'am, you came down here for, you said this was your son or your grandson?
My grandson.
Well, God bless you, Grandma.
Well, his mom is not in the picture. She's got some drug problems. He hasn't seen her since he was five, so.
Well, bless you.
I've kind of been the fill-in.
And as far as time, nobody else in the county cares what time they call us or email us. So if something happens on a weekend or at night, I'm not being any more of a smart aleck than that, but don't think that, well, it's too late to send that email or to call them. I get a number of calls.
I probably
outside.
Kind of panicked when she told me it was after this week, and I'm like, oh my God.
That's understandable. I'm glad you got it sorted out.
Yep. What he said, any problems, you can email me anytime. I don't care what time it is. So.
Okay. He stays up watching movies until 5 o'clock in the morning.
And reading.
I used to be a manager at the water company under Alan Borden. It's communication is a lot of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes just sitting down and I knew this was fairly informal.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Not a problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not upset with Jen. I just, she was very good. I just talked it up to probably the stress of the times.
Yeah.
It's
hope,
a huge
hope everything
burden.
Goes well for your grandson.
What's that?
I said I hope everything goes well for your grandson.
He does well. He does. We're very blessed. He's a very smart little cookie, so I'm hoping he continues on with that. The teenagers are ahead. He's almost 13.
I'll be praying for you, honey.
Good luck with that.
Me and grandma that kind of does the mom thing, too. Yeah. I get exactly what a parent gets, and it's like, I just want to be a grandma, So, well, thank you all.
Thank you. Take care.
Nobody called in. So
okay. If there's no other comments or questions, with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned.